In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, discipleship pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin. I'm so glad you could join us today. We are working our way through the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. And we're visiting verse 7, where we discover and learn about the third commandment. I summarize this commandment as no name in vain. Let me read Exodus 20, verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now, this commandment is repeated in Deuteronomy 5:11, and it's very similar, not any significant differences. Now, there's a lot of misunderstanding on this particular commandment, so let's look a little bit deeper and see how this is applicable for us today. Now, the first word is take. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Now, that means to lift up or to raise, which gives you another idea of what's going on here. In other words, don't raise up the name of God in vain. Don't proclaim it to others. Don't reveal it to the world as something that's vain. That's the idea of lift up, to raise, to take. Now, the word vain means empty, false, futile, deceitful, fraudulent, worthless, scandalous. Do you see how there's much more to this commandment than just, for example, many think, well, I just shouldn't swear or something like that. And that's true. You should not be using the Lord's name in a profane way. But the commandment is not limited to swearing only. This is more at the heart of who is God. It's about his identity. And God's people should be reflecting to the world who God really is. Let me give you an insight on Ezekiel chapter 20, 6 through 11. On that day, I raised my hand in an oath to them to bring them out of the land of Egypt into a land that I had searched out for them, flowing with milk and honey, the glory of all lands. Then I said to them, each of you, throw away the abominations which are before his eyes and do not defile yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. But they rebelled against me and would not obey me. They did not cast away the abominations which were before their eyes, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury on them and fulfill my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I acted for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned before the Gentiles among who they were, in whose sight I had made myself known to them to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, I made them go out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness, and I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. So you see what's going on? God saw the idolatry of the Israelites, and he could have easily rebuked them, punished them, but instead he delivered them. But you see what was at stake? God's identity. That's what was at stake, his glory. And he was patient with the Israelites for his name's sake. And again, as it says there, but I acted for my name's sake. So what's at stake in this commandment number 3, no name in vain, is the identity and meaning of God. When you use, and again, swearing is only one facet of this, when you use God's name inappropriately, or if you describe God incorrectly, if you live a life that testifies to sin, and that's against God, you are sending a message to the world. You are profaning the name of the Lord. You are taking the Lord your God in vain. So we need to rightly understand who God is and rightly reflect to the world his identity. That's the idea behind this commandment. Let me give you some other thoughts. Malachi 3:16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them, and so a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. I love this picture. It's God's kind of listening in. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. And he hears this conversation, and he's pleased that they're talking about him. So he writes that conversation down in one of his special books. But let's talk about words. Psalm 139:20, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Now think about this for a minute. Us believers, taking the Lord's name in vain? It should not be, because unbelievers do take the Lord's name in vain. So when you and I take the Lord's name in vain, we are identifying ourselves not with believers, we are identifying ourselves with unbelievers. That's a significant indictment, is it not? Psalm 74:10. Oh God, how long will the adversary reproach? Will the enemy blaspheme your name forever? Same idea. Leviticus 19:12. And you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. So now you're starting to see this expands out to falsely swearing or just profaning the name. And in Matthew 5:33, and you have heard that it was said, as Jesus says on the Sermon on the Mount, to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but you shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all. In other words, make these vows. Neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes and your no be no, for whatever is more than this is from the evil one. In other words, prideful, arrogant. And then James reaffirms this truth in James 5:12. But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into judgment. So this commandment is more than just using God's name profanely. It is about how do you express the name and character of God in your life. It's also connected not just to words, but to deeds. Leviticus 9:2, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Leviticus 23, I will set my face against that man and I will cut him off. In other words, that he may be killed from his people, because he has given some of his descendants to Molech, to defile my sanctuary and profane my holy name. So again, you see this connection, no other gods, no idols, no name in vain. But as soon as they break one of those commandments, they are violating more than one command. I mean, just this giving to Molech, they're violating the first commandment, the second commandment, and even the third commandment. They're all interrelated. Now, how do we apply this to us as believers in God's name? Psalm 5, verse 11. But let all those who rejoice, who put their trust in you, let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. Do you love the name of Jesus? Do you love the name of God? If you do, then you won't want to use his name in a profane way. Psalm 8:1, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. I love this picture. How excellent is your name. Not only do you love the name, but do you see it as the most excellent name? Psalm 9:2, I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Wow, loving the name, it's an excellent name, and now we're singing praise to it. Psalm 29:2, give unto the Lord the glory due his name, and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. These are incredible worshipful pictures for each of us to remind us of the type of attitude and actions that we should have towards the Lord in his name. But listen to what God says about the name of Christ, which is a name we hear slandered all the time in the world. But look what the Father says about the Son's name. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. This is his incarnation. But his incarnation was more than just him coming as a man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. So God looks at the cross of Christ and sees this incredible, selfless, loving, holy act of not only obedience, but sacrificial love. And the Father responds to his Son with this: "Therefore, God the Father also has highly exalted Jesus and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Let me tell you, taking the Lord's name in vain is a sin, and it is an offense to a God who loves you, who has died for you, who has given everything for your redemption. Do you extol his name? Do you love his name? Do you see it as an excellent name? Do you sing praises to his name? And do you give glory to his name? And do you do that not only with your words, but with your deeds, with your very life? Oh, brothers and sisters, we must guard our life. Do you remember David and his sin of Bathsheba? When he was finally confronted, God said to him, "Because of you, my enemies will blaspheme my name." How often have us Christians lived in such a way that people take the Lord's name in vain? Our sin results in making them stumble to where now they take the Lord's name in vain. This should not be. We should be living in such a way that our lives communicate that we fear and love and respect and revere our Lord, his character, because a name is connected to his character. His name is connected to who he is, what he says, what he does, and what he promises. It is his reputation. And if we can't honor that in the church, we certainly can't expect the world to do so. And if we don't, oh man, what is going to happen to us? And I think at the end of the day, you look deep into your heart. If you are one who is taking the Lord's name in vain, maybe there's a time that you need to set aside and truly study who God is and understand how disrespectful and inappropriate it is for you or me or any other believer to live or use the Lord's name in vain. Well, I hope you're challenged by those thoughts, and may you live a life that extols the name of Christ, that others will go, "Wow, that is a name that I will respect, and that is a name that I need to know and understand." Now, we're coming up to commandment number 4. And let me go ahead and read Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. This is the keep the Sabbath commandment. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant nor your female servant, nor your cattle nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it." Wow, we're just beginning. This is a fascinating commandment. We're going to show you what it means to the Israelite, but also we'll answer the question, what role does this commandment have for the New Testament church? Well, we're out of time, so we'll pick up this subject matter in our next time together. Until then, may you review Exodus chapter 20, reflect on these commandments, and ask God to help you love him and love others.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.